Hey everyone, it's Lady A.
And DJ.
And welcome to episode 8 of Money, Romance, and Greed.
Yeah, yo.
Oh my goodness, DJ. How are you today?
Doing well, doing great.
And I'm doing fabulous, but after they hear this story or we talk through this story, I don't know how well we're going to be doing, right? This is just, it's crazy. This is episode 8 of Money, Romance, and Greed. And before we get started with today's most intriguing story, we just want to take a minute to just say thank you to everyone who has stuck with us and have been supporters of the podcast.
Yeah, man, for sure. We want to give a big Money, Romance, and Greed shout out to our listeners in where we at with it? Ohio, North Carolina, Michigan, California, New York, Idaho, Virginia, Oregon, Florida, Missouri, Colorado, Georgia, Indiana, Texas, Pennsylvania, Washington, Arkansas, as well as Washington, D.C., y'all.
Yeah, and you know what? We cannot forget our international listeners. I mean, we've like totally went international now, right?
Yo.
So a big shout out to our listeners in Australia, the United Kingdom, and India. We really appreciate and love each and every one of you. Thank you for sticking with us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it. You stay down with us. There's a lot more to come. And please be sure to hit the subscribe button whenever you get your, wherever you get your podcast.
Absolutely.
Fixed.
Tell your family, tell your friends.
That's
Money,
right.
Money, Romance, and Greed is what's happening. We got a lot of good things happening, y'all.
We welcome everyone. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. So let's get into the drama.
Let's get into it,
right?
Man. What's
okay.
going down?
I'm gonna tell you, DJ. This story right here has all of the makings of a homicide: teenage jealousy, racial tensions, too much alcohol, and a single gunshot. So when these four things actually came together on the night of August 9th of 2006, it left one family with a dead son and another family fighting to stay alive because Daniel Cicero Jr., who is a white teenager, was dead, while John White, an African-American family man, stood accused of his homicide.
Oh. Really?
Drama.
It's a
drama.
Black and white thing, huh?
This is a black and
okay.
white
What'd you
situation.
Say? Alcohol, a gun.
And teenagers.
This is my type of story.
I mean, wow. This man, listen. This is something that just went, just, I don't even know, way too far or not far enough. I don't know how to put it.
You already know. You know how to put it. Yeah, damn it. It was a racial issue. I could already tell. It was a black, this is a white. I want to hear what happened, Lady A.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So it's crazy because this single moment in time would later spark extreme racial tensions and this all white American suburban neighborhood.
All white American. The good old boys, goddammit.
That's some good old boys. We know, shout out to the good old boys. And don't play that, right? So let's give a little bit of background to our listeners on this situation. So in 2004, John White, who was 53 years old at the time, moved his family to a beautiful suburban home. And it was located at 40 Independence Way. And that was on the north shore of Long Island in New York. And it was a quaint place called Miller Place.
It was a beautiful home.
It was a beautiful,
place.
It was a quaint. Okay, you don't hear quaint all the time.
Right, quaint, a.k.a. white.
You don't hear the word. When's the last time you heard the word quaint?
It means white. Quaint place. I mean, a few people.
Distinguished.
Right.
Distinguished area, okay? Respectable.
No,
so, he moved his family here for that very reason, right? So his son, Aaron White, entered Miller Place High School as a senior. So he was just one of four black students, which statistically in that area was noted as less than one half of 1% of African Americans in that entire school.
And see, my fault. I thought, okay, so John White, see, that's a white name. I just assumed he was white. So John White is the black.
It's actually the black.
Why the hell would he move there?
He's
only one in four blacks.
He's only one in four.
Uppity ass nigga.
Let's not forget quaint. Quaint place.
Yeah, uppity ass bourgeois Negro.
He said he wasn't living quaint.
One.
He want to live in Quint area.
One of four.
One in
so
four.
So you really are 25%.
Yep. Less than.
No, a quarter. It's four of y'all. Right. Less than.
So each one of y'all. And hopefully nobody graduated. Because Aaron was a senior then, so that means that all of them would probably right. gonna graduate and be close to graduating.
Nobody gets into a problem. Hey, nobody gets your back. That's yeah. your
ass. I mean, anyway. It's over. You can forget about
hey,
it.
Hey, let's get it popping on.
So he was, you know, like we said, he was only one of four blacks that was actually in this entire school. But he made a big effort to become a part of his class. He made friends and he finished his senior year very strong
right.
academically. And was a very respectable young man.
Put us in any situation, we gonna
we
get
gonna,
that.
We gonna, that's the period. Thing. Put us in a situation and that's the thing we can
understand.
Adapt.
They so scared of us and this, that, and the third, man. Mm-hmm. We don't act like them. We mm-hmm. not. We don't act like them. Name one time a whites moved into your neighborhood and the black said, oh, yeah, no, we don't want you here. We're going to move out.
We always.
No, but let a black move into the neighborhood. Oh, our property value. We got to move.
We got to move. Or you got
Stop.
To move.
Don't get me started, lady.
Or you got to move. Don't you know this is an all-white neighborhood? We not accustomed to this. So, Aaron, because his father moved them to the quote-unquote quaint place. Man. I can't get over that word, right? So, you know, because he was very respectable, that's the way he was raised. And on any given day, you may see him or his siblings because he had two older siblings. Now, one of them was in college, but the oldest sibling, which was his older brother, was actually married with children or a child at the time. So, you know, of course, right, he's the so baby of the family. The
right,
exactly.
Right.
And they had never attended the school in the past
right.
as well. So this was all new for the White family. But he would be seen.
For the white family.
The I know, it's so family. Weird. I know, the white
I'm just
family.
Joking. That's me, but so, let's go.
But he would be seen sporting a preppy look, right? Because he obviously came from, you know, other schools where maybe it was a dress uniform or things of that yeah. nature. And looking, and according to the NewYorker.com, he was the type of young man who was more likely to address his elders with the terms, yes, sir. No, sir.
Oh, okay.
That's the way he was
okay,
raised.
Okay, clean cut.
Clean cut, respectable.
Yes, sir, type nigga. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Little polo, mm-hmm. little, you know, no sagging, slim, yeah. Slim,
right.
slim type of things.
A
okay.
professional. He came through, you know,
I mean,
that's the way he was raised.
At 17, but
at
whatever.
17, exactly. So, John's family was pretty quiet, friendly, and John moved there because he believed the community was family-oriented and was a safe environment. He wanted his family to live a comfortable life, which he believed living in this community, in this upscale, quote-unquote, neighborhood was, quote-unquote, the American dream for him.
Quaint.
Getting quaint.
Quaint.
Going quaint is the American dream, apparently. So, you know, but for him, you know, that's what it was. Finally, you know, it reminds me of the Jeffersons. We're moving on up to the east side now. We done finally made it. And that's the way John White felt about it.
Hey, and I'm telling you, back in the day, that was the plot. You know, when they get you in, we moving out this motherfucking ghetto.
Exactly.
But little did we know, they don't want us out there. There's more problems out there. What we need to do is build up our own communities,
y'all.
Our own communities. What are we doing?
What is that saying? Don't move out of your community. Fix the problems that you have in the community so you don't have to move. That was the thing. Everybody's moving out, but the problems are still staying there. And so, and again, to John White, though, him moving to this quaint.
Yeah.
You guys are going to hear us say that all night because I just can't believe that he said it was a quaint. But yet, nevertheless, you know, we divest. But so in addition to that, He wanted Aaron, his youngest son, to have an opportunity to spend his senior year at Miller Place High School, where this school takes pride in their educational standards.
And that's what it was all about for
yeah.
Pops. I'm sure he probably didn't know. I mean, it sounded like he didn't see color. He got a nice house in a nice neighborhood, wanted his children to have a great education.
That's right.
That's what it was.
That's right.
And
sure
I mean,
did.
They had all the opportunities too, but they don't like us out there.
Nope.
That's the only thing. And we've been doing it. Hell, my mom did it. I mean, hell, we fall victim to it, too. We just started getting smart.
That's right.
No, it's about uplifting our community. Martin Luther King, before he passed, said one of his greatest regrets is that he feels like he's leading his people down the wrong path with this integration type thing.
Right.
It's not about that, y'all.
That's right. That's right.
I'm sorry, though. Let's go.
No. Hey, preach it, because it's the truth. And we all about truth on this podcast. So moving on, John White's childhood was enriched in the early South, and it was not a good experience. In fact, John White's family relocated from Alabama after the Ku Klux Klan planned a murderous attack on a family member of
his. That's what I'm saying. He knew what was going on, but yet still, see, we're brainwashed. We're culturally conditioned.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
At the end of the day, we think white is right and black is whack. No, that's not it. Yep. And after your family moved several times due to racial situations.
Yep, exactly.
You know better than that.
And so sometimes I feel like people, especially in that situation, growing up where you are still being involved with the Ku Klux Klan, like, that's a big deal.
That's a real big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
And I ain't saying move to the ghetto, but four blacks out of the whole school,
y'all?
Yeah.
Come
on, no.
And think you're safe?
No.
And you
not
think
be safe. You,
I mean, excuse me or correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you're just walking into the mouth of the lion. Like, it's going from bad to worse.
Thank you. And I can't wait to see what's going on, Lady A.
So to be in this, and this is John White, right? And this is his feeling. To be in this, to be living in this gorgeous community and doing well by his wife and all of his children, that he rose above all of the negative situations that plagued him in his younger years. So, I mean, I can understand where it's coming from. He did feel like he had made it.
I can too. And that was the mind process for so many years.
Yep.
Yeah, it's different now.
Yep.
And again, I don't know it all. At the end of the day, he was doing what he felt was best.
What he felt was best.
And that's just what it is.
Exactly.
If you knew better, you do better. Now
exactly.
We know, so we're going to do better, and then we're going to change again.
Exactly.
Life cycles.
Yep, exactly. So that is the mindset of John White. He's a respectable, you know, a man who had an electrician by trade, and he was I'll tell you this is just a side note. When John moved to his family or whatever, when they moved to this quaint area, mm-hmm. community, mm-hmm. he was actually getting up at 3:30 every single morning just to travel to his job where he fixed potholes in the community. That is how bad he wanted to live in this area.
Damn.
That is how bad he wanted his family
and
to be
to
in this
like
area.
And I hate to sound like a broken record. I'm going to stall y'all out, y'all. But that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
And not only do you move out there, and you're driving 2 and 3 hours to get
Thank
to work.
Thank you. He's driving like 3 hours to get to his job.
He was supposed to be safe out there, and it makes him sick.
And that's exactly what he felt. He felt like moving out here would have been a protection for him, and he would have been safe.
Nah, they hating.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
So on the other side of the spectrum, we have the Cicero family. Okay, and this is the White family. Just to be clear, Dan Cicero Sr., real name Daniel Cicero Sr., is the father to 17-year-old Daniel, also known as Dano to his friends and family.
That nickname.
Cicero
Jr. I'm sorry, that's that racist Italian or white boy. Dano. Come
doesn't
on,
it?
No.
It is an Italian name. I totally
Don't
feel like it is
up.
An Italian name. So his father runs an automobile repair shop in Port Jeff Station called Dano's Auto Clinic. What
fine.
A coincidence.
I won't be going there.
So, Dano spent a lot of time, and this is the son, at the shop and had taken a real liking to cars. And according to NewYorker.com, Dan Singer indicated that as a young teenager, he started a detailing business, which is the son. He started a detailing business out of the auto shop and intended to continue the business as he began community college.
Well, however, I mean, what's wrong with it then? Everything started out.
Exactly.
With him, then he's clean cut. He's working with his dad. He's working on cars.
And he started his own business.
And he feel like he's going to start selling his business.
Exactly.
So where did everything go wrong?
So both Aaron White and 17-year-old Dan Cicero Jr. attended the same high school. But I don't think they ever really, like, crossed paths to the point of conversation or to the point of friendship. This was like, I know who he is. I know who he is. And it just kind of never went
anywhere.
I know
he did know. Yeah, what? One of the four blacks in there. Yeah, I know him.
Thank you. How hard is it not to know the four blacks that go to that whole school, right?
The big one, the skinny one, the little one, the short one, the fat one. That's it.
The one on the football team, the one on the basketball team, the one play golf, the one that play hockey.
The one that live up the street, down the street, around the corner.
I know exactly where everybody lives. Because, again, this is a quaint community.
Quaint.
So, but now they've both been at the same events before. So that's the thing. They don't know each other. But because this is a small community, they've been to car shows together.
They know of each other. Right.
They know of each other.
They've crossed paths several times.
Mm-hmm. And one of the big events that they had was at the Stop and Shop gatherings and other events going on within the community, or where, you know, basically where the high school students at
the Stop and Shop.
At the Stop and Shop.
I know that's right. In the Quint Town. Huh?
At the Quint Town.
Stop and Shop.
At Stop and Shop gatherings.
I can see it now. Hosted. You out there calling? I'm going to Stop and Shop Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so people knew who the two young men were. So they both knew who Dan Jr. was, and they knew who Aaron was.
Yeah, I can see it now. Yeah, what up, Black? Yeah,
exactly, Black. Up, but they never knew each other personally.
Oh, so okay.
Right, but they knew. I mean, I'm sure if Aaron saw Dano across the street, he would say that that's Dano because the street know him as Dano. And if Dano saw Aaron, he would probably say, "Oh yeah, that's a little Black name." Aaron, and they would know, but they weren't like friends, and they were like, yo, what's up, and all that stuff. They just knew each other because in a small town, you just know of people. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm figuring was the part in this whole story.
Man, let's get to the nitty-gritty.
And so let's get into the, that's just the background, y'all. So let's get into the event of the story.
You got me intrigued, lady. Hey,
it's a mess. It's a mess, just so y'all know. So on the evening of August 9th, there was a birthday party held for a recent high school graduate named Craig Martin Jr. And even though he just recently graduated, he was still living at home with his parents and with his 15-year-old sister, Jennifer Martin. Now, Jennifer Martin at the time, and this is just what some people say and what other people say. Some people say that she was the girlfriend of 17-year-old Dano Cicero, and other people say that she was just close friends with Dano Cicero.
So either way, they
were in some type of relationship. So everyone, including Aaron White, was invited to his home to attend his birthday party, where there was a lot of beer and a lot of playing games that involved excessive drinking, like beer pong, things of that nature. I don't even know what beer pong even is.
Drinking a whole bunch of beer.
And ponging it up? I don't know. What does that even mean?
If you missed the best part, you
got to take a shot of beer. Oh, Lord. Okay. So there was a lot of drinking involved. Yeah. And this party would be the night where all hell would literally break loose.
All hell broke loose?
All hell. The devil came out and all his friends, all in this one night.
Oh, wait.
Okay? So it all started back in December of 2005, because this would have been August of 2006. This all started back in December of 2005 when two friends of Aaron White thought it'd be funny to create an account on MySpace. Remember MySpace? Oh, my God. Like, how ancient is that, right? And post a message under Aaron's name as a prank, making sexual inappropriate threats against Craig's younger sister, Jennifer Martin.
So friends of
the Black boy, Aaron White, mm-hmm. they thought it'd be funny to set up this MySpace account.
Friends of the Black male.
So-called friends.
Wow. Why would they do that? What color were they? They had to be white.
Wait, it's only four blacks in the whole
thing. Talking about they thought it would be funny. They didn't thought it would be funny. They set his ass up.
Yep.
They knew what it was. Damn.
Yep. Yeah, they sure did.
They said what?
They said that they thought it would be funny to set up an account underneath his name on MySpace and make sexual inappropriate threats against Craig's younger sister, which is Jennifer Martin.
Yeah, that's not funny.
It's not funny at all.
That's not funny.
And I don't think anybody would take that as a joke.
That right there pisses me off. And that's the type of shit, that's that sucker shit that people do behind your back every day.
Mm-hmm.
No. No. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a mess. And so the message online, and this is coming from Jennifer Martin herself, right? The message online says something to the effect of, quote, let's get to Jennifer Martin's house and rape her.
What?
Yes. Graphic.
Under his name.
Under his name.
Damn. And it's Dano's girlfriend. Dano went off.
Right.
Why is Dano 17, Dana 15-year-old?
Thank you. I mean, that's my question. God, I know they're both minors, but my thing is, we don't really know.
That nigga's not a minor. That nigga's 1 year away from being able to go to the army.
And is he not a singer? I mean, come
on.
He
smoke cigarettes and
15.
Shit.
15.
Yeah, nah.
He drinking.
And right, and 15, she's got an eighth grade.
Thank you.
Come on.
Like, seriously.
That's how they do it, though.
I mean, in this quaint community.
But, hey, I'm going to tell you,
that's appropriate, I guess.
Whatever happened to these friends? See, I got a lot of questions, Lady A.
Yeah, it's crazy. So due to the fact that the message was made under Aaron's name on the internet chat, people started asking him if he was the one who actually posted the message. And he told several people, including Dano, he did not write anything about Jennifer. Like, he gave it... This is a young man. Let's keep in mind. This is a young man who says yes, sir, and no, sir, to his elders. I cannot see, and he rocks the preppy look. He comes from a very disciplined family.
They play the proper
I cannot
straight
imagine
man,
him being this guy that just walks around and posts inappropriate things of that nature. It's like, are you freaking kidding me right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so now he's got to prove himself, right? So he says that he told everybody that he did not do this, including Dano, that he did not write anything about Jennifer online. However, Aaron never told Aaron or Jennifer directly that that was something that he had never done.
What now? Back
okay.
Back.
So he told, when people asked him, he was like, no, that wasn't me. That's not even my account.
What people asked
him? Friends. They never say specific.
They kill me saying friends. They also said friends open up an account in his name. Them ain't fucking friends.
Yeah.
God
thank
damn.
You.
That's
thank
another
you.
Jewel, y'all. Everybody ain't your friend.
Everybody ain't your
just
friend.
Just because you know them, you work with them, might have talked to them, might have went out. This is not your friend. You don't know these people, man.
That's right.
Damn.
And in my grandmother's words, nobody is your friend.
Preach it.
Everybody Preach is it. An acquaintance.
Preach.
That's it. Nobody is your
now,
friend.
That's the best game ever told.
Nobody is your friend. And let's be clear about this, because people who would think it's funny, and again, why would somebody do something like that? I don't know. He's the only black in the school. He's one of four.
He's one of four. He's 25%.
And in a white community, wouldn't it be more common that they would think that the black man would say something like that?
In a white school, that's becoming what they would do.
Thank you.
They're trying to cause some trouble.
Thank you.
Cowards.
Exactly. So, of course, you know, Aaron never even, like, he was, anytime he was approached about the situation, he was always very clear that he was not the person. And Dano actually had said, you know, hey, you know, I heard there was a rumor going around that you said something to Jennifer or whatever. And he wasn't quite clear of the circumstance of what the words and the details were. And Aaron
I'm
was
sure it
like,
went a lot
no.
different than that, lady. I'm
exactly.
Sure it went a lot different
and
than
I'm
that.
And I'm saying it the nice kind of
but,
way.
But anyway, he
exactly.
Out
so
it.
He
Nobody
says said. No. Mm-hmm. And in time, after nothing else was said about the incident, Aaron went ahead and moved on with his life. He had graduated and he had forgotten about the whole situation until the night that he showed up.
What you mean after a while? He graduated already. How long? What?
He had actually went. Oh, he was about.
How much time has passed, Lady A?
It was quite a bit of time. Well, let's keep this in mind. This situation happened in December.
December.
Okay. Graduation is in June. And this boy, Craig, was having his birthday party in August.
8 months?
So, thank you. Yes, you are correct, DJ. That's how much time passed. People was already forgot about this. This is a testament of people who will harbor things They will. They will harbor it. And they will pretend like everything's okay. Yeah. And they will pretend like everything's fine. And everybody's over it. Because Aaron White certainly thought that the situation was already a done deal. Uh-uh. He had, you know, and so when he was invited and had ultimately attended, because he's 19 at the time now when this party happened, when he attended Craig's party or whatever, he didn't think that this was going to be an issue. He hadn't even thought about it no more. He just assumed that people had forgot about it. Clearly, they didn't.
Don't get me started. Let's go, lady.
So, you know, Aaron shows up at this party. He shows up about 10 p.m. And when Aaron walked in the backyard, and Jennifer, the younger sister, of course, of Craig Martin, saw him, she immediately became frightened.
So she really still thinks that this boy about to rape.
Right.
So did he ever talk to Jennifer?
He never did.
He just talked to people around
him. Right. The people who asked him, including Dano at the time, said that, you know, no, I never did this. Hey. But he never talked to Greg, her older brother, and he never talked to Jennifer.
Hey, another jewel, y'all. Hey, if you got some smut on your name, you better clear it up. 911.
That's right.
You better clear it up immediately. And you'll take it straight to the source. Ooh. Bottom line. Because talking to everybody around the source ain't going to do nothing. He should have, dang, no, listen, it ain't popping. Listen, sweetheart, no, I would never, da-da-da-da-da. Come on, man.
Eight months later,
I'm graduated, pull up to a party, and I'm getting approached with this shit?
That's right. Because he didn't do that.
It went down at the party?
Exactly. So it didn't go down at the party, but Jennifer did tell 2020, quote, I did not expect to see Aaron White at all. When he walked in my back door, it just sent chills up my spine. Okay? So within minutes of Aaron arriving, which would have been shortly past 10 p.m., which I just stated, Jennifer told her brother, Craig, that she wasn't comfortable with Aaron being there due to a past incident, and they asked Dano to ask Aaron to leave. So at that point, Dano approached Aaron, and he says, quote, it's nothing personal, but you need to leave. Aaron told 2020 that he was in shock because he'd never been thrown out of a party before, but nevertheless, he says, okay, and he left. Quote, it's not my house, not my property. I have no right to question him.
Look, mild-mannered black man.
Yep.
Okay, and third ear. We listening with that third ear, that, you know what I mean? It's nothing personal. You just have to leave. And that's from Dano. Okay, so if it's nothing personal, what happened, April?
That's right. That's the reason why he's saying I wasn't going to ask any questions. Because at that point, keep in mind, Aaron's not really understanding why he has to leave. He was invited just to stay there for 2 or 3 minutes and then be told that he has to leave the party. So he really is not clear.
I'm glad he left, though. You don't want me here? I'm gone.
Yep.
Bottom line.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Exactly. So after Aaron left, that's when Jennifer told Dano about the MySpace incident. And Dano, who had already been drinking heavily, had gotten really angry and aggressive about the situation.
I feel like I missed that. Who told what?
So
Dano didn't know about the MySpace incident?
He didn't know. He knew that something had happened, that there was some inappropriate language that had went around, but he wasn't sure of the details. When he first approached Aaron, like several others, quote unquote, Aaron was like, I would never post anything inappropriate about Jennifer. So Dano let that go. And all of his other friends. And that's why the incident had died down. Everybody was like, nah, I know Aaron. He would never do nothing like that. This is stupid, whatever, whatever. So people let it go. And it harbored from December of 2005 until August 9th of 2006 when he showed up at this party. Because I'm quite sure that Aaron would have never showed up at this party. Hey, he thought some BS was about to go down.
So the female is the only one that seen the message.
And the message was sent to her.
And never told Dano?
She didn't tell Dano until the night. Exactly. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yes.
So this wasn't even... Really?
Yes.
So you see how sneaky and conniving they are?
That's right.
Didn't say nothing. Walking around here knowing something's going on. I could just about hear what they were saying. You know what they was talking about it the whole time. And now you're just now going to tell the Dano dude 8 months later?
That's right.
They sneaky. They conniving. Yep. Devils.
Yep. So after Aaron left, that's when Jennifer told Dano, like I just said, about the MySpace incident. And Dano, who had already been drinking heavily, had gotten really angry and aggressive about the situation. In fact, the interesting thing about this is that a toxicology report later revealed that during the time of this incident, Dano's alcohol level was 2 times the legal limit. So basically, he was flat out drunk.
He was toe up from the floor up.
Keep in mind, he's 17.
Shit faced.
And so, and when you guys look at the show notes and click on the videos, you're gonna see how small this boy was in terms of skinny. It didn't take much for him to be drunk. So around 10:30 p.m., Aaron received a call from Dano where he was using racial slurs and threatening him. This conversation only lasted about 2 minutes, but there was like several of them. So they like hanging up, calling back, hanging up, calling back, hanging up, calling back.
I ain't got time.
Right.
I ain't got time.
Exactly. Like, why do you keep calling me?
But again, he's a preppy boy. So he's like,
Right. And so at some point, Dano made a fateful decision to go over to Aaron's house and take 4 of his friends with him.
Don't come over to
Wrong
my house.
Answer. Somebody, nobody has sense in that situation.
Don't come to the crib. All right, Lady A, I think I know where you're going with this. Keep it moving. Let's go.
Yes, okay. So, he makes this faithful decision for him and his friends to go over to his house. Once they contacted him and let him know, they called him and let him know that they were on their way. Aaron says that he immediately...
They are so fucking stupid. Oh my God. Hey, I'm headed over here to your house and we're going to beat your ass.
And we're going to kill
we'll
you.
We'll be there in about 15 minutes, and you're going to die. We're going to beat your ass. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Get the strap.
They had the pistols. Because Aaron immediately woke up his father, John White, and said, "Wake up, Dad." Quote, "Wake up, Dad. These kids are coming here to beat me up and kill me." That's when Aaron's father sprang into action to protect his son.
Shit, they know they ain't. I wish a nigga would.
Exactly. Exactly. So at 11:10 p.m., a close neighbor who was an orthodontist, this was a surveillance. He was the only one in the community that actually had surveillance cameras at his home.
Shout out to the orthodontist.
Oh,
with a camera back.
Thank you. Capture the moment where Dano and his friends pulled up to the White's home. They got out of the car and began yelling and screaming racial slurs. Nigger this, nigger that.
I ain't got time.
Thank you. So John,
in front of my house?
Yes, in front of your house. Oh my God.
Woo! And I got a gun.
So John White grabs his handgun while Aaron grabs his father's shotgun located in the garage. And John White begins pointing the gun and telling the boys, quote, "Get out of here. Get out of here. You're not taking my son. You're not touching my family." He then turned to walk about, kind of like he's got
you
the gun,
property,
but he's
driveway.
Right. So it's kind of, he's like, "Listen, get out of here. Right. We're not, this shit ain't going
down."
So
they face to face.
Right. So he kind of like backs up and he's kind of like gearing to walk away. And he was grabbing the son that's going to the house, right? So John White says that as he was attempting to walk back to the house, Dano attempted to reach for the gun or slap the gun away.
You.
And that's when the gun went off, shooting Dano in the face.
You never...
Cautionary tale, people.
Oh my God.
Never do that.
He got a gun, you don't got a gun. All right? It's over. Give him what he want. You run, you walk away, you don't grab the gun. What you thought was gonna happen? Mm. And see, that's just a dedication to how hard they think they are. They think less of us, y'all. Yep. They think he wasn't done. They think that they was gonna be able to take the gun from the black man, beat his son in front of him, and just leave.
Yep.
Oh my God, what an attitude.
And
that's just
that
arrogance.
Was the height of it is. It is. And that's why one boy ends up dead and one, you know, it's terrible.
What?
Because
they killed him?
Yes. At this the fact is the bullet traveled through Dano's left cheek and up to his right ear, killing him. So Dano's friends actually pick him up and put him in the car. Alex Delgado, who's another friend of Dano at the scene of the crime or the scene of the situation, actually called 911. And on the 911 call, the boy tried and explained the situation where they are flying down the street. And this is also on the orthodontist video footage or whatever. They're flying down the street trying to get Dano to the local hospital.
One more time, Lottie A. Walk me through the shooting.
So they're at the... They get to Aaron White's house.
Yes.
Aaron White, by this time, has woken up his father. And he's... They got the guns. They're walking down. Aaron has the shotgun. The dad has the handgun. And they're like, get out of here. Get out of here. We're not going to do that. So Dano thinks that he's going to be big badass.
And
he's
going
to try to either grab the gun or slap the gun.
Damn. And pop shot him.
And the gun went off.
That's it.
So that's what happened. So that by this time, his friends are... flying down the street trying to get him to a local hospital. However, on the 911
tape... bullet in his face. Bullet in his face.
Right, exactly. And so on the 911 tape, you can hear Dano's friend, Joseph Serrano, clearly saying, fucking niggers.
What?
Dano, I'll get them for you. Dano. Dano dies a few hours after arriving at the hospital surrounded by his parents and his friend's parents.
Fucking niggers. See?
Yeah.
See? Caught him on tape saying it.
Yeah.
They
clearly
say it.
Clearly.
They say it in their home all the
clearly.
Time.
Clearly.
I'm sure we'll say amongst each other. I mean,
clearly.
Emails have leaked. Look at how they talk about Obama.
Mm-hmm.
They say the word all the time.
But they'll lie and say they don't say it. They'll lie and say, like, he said he didn't say it. He said he didn't say it, but it was on the 911 tape that he did say it.
Exactly. It was a racially motivated crime.
Yeah.
It was more than just a rape. I'm feeling like the rape thing was just a cop-out, a plea.
To jump on this boy.
8 months later? Come on. You knew that was some bullshit. You done got drunk and you're feeling some type of way about some old shit and went over here on some nigger shit.
Yep.
They caught you on 911, caught you saying, oh, fucking nigger, they know I'm going to get him for you.
Yep.
Yeah. I bet you can't get his life back, though.
Thank you.
Shit.
So meanwhile, back at the White's home, John White was being arrested and charged with the death of Dano Cicero Jr. John White, who is a God-fearing man and had never been in trouble before, couldn't believe that this was happening.
A God-fearing man. Was he a pastor?
He was in the men's choir.
Yeah, so he went to church.
He had been attending church, that same church, for a number of years.
Damn.
Like I said, an electrician. Basically, he went to work, took care of his family, attended church, and that's what he did.
Thank you.
And he was a gardener. He was, if he wasn't at work and he wasn't at church, he was in his garden, making his garden look beautiful. Like most people in the suburbs, right? They always want their lawns to look good, et cetera, et cetera. And so that is what he was known as. So by the time the trial took place, in November of 2007, John White was being charged with second-degree manslaughter, and in the court of public opinion, the case was evenly divided. Some people believe that he acted in self-defense and within the laws to protect his family from a true threat.
It was absolutely self-defense.
Exactly. While others believe that he jumped into a teenage situation, creating an unnecessary tragedy. So the trial goes for about a month, where both sides argue back and forth between Dano and his friends as this group of hoodlums ganging up on one of the only other black teenagers in the neighborhood, while the prosecution is making assertions that Dano and his friends were not technically on White's property when he was shot, and the shooting was intentional because after Dano was shot, John White... nor any member of his family attended to assist him or do anything, call 911 or anything. They just turned around to walk back to their home to wait for the police. So on December 22nd of 2007, after 4 days of deliberation, the jury found John White guilty of manslaughter. Organizations such as the Action Network, headed by Reverend Al Sharpton, and the NAACP immediately disagreed with the verdict, indicating that
this... Damn right.
Exactly. Right.
Lady A, what you want me to do? I mean, you in front of my house calling my son nigger. You gonna kill me? This in the third. You got the audacity to smack a gun out of my face. Yeah, I mean, out of my... And end up shooting you in the face. Yes, I'm gonna run in the house. I'm walking in the house. They snatched your ass up and ran with you.
That's right. That's right. Keep in mind John White's history. Okay? He already had a family member die in the hands of the Ku Klux Klan.
Thank you.
That's a big, big, big deal.
That's the biggest deal, and it's real. I know people can't fathom the thought. Millennials know at the end of the day it happens. Yep. And the KKK is real, and unfortunately they're coming back around, y'all.
That's right. So here I got five white teenagers talking about they're going to drag my son off to beat him and kill him. And you think nothing. For 1 second I'm not going to think KKK? Are you kidding me?
Sees me with a gun and try to smack me.
Thank
Come
you.
On, I'm fired.
Thank you. Come mm-hmm. on. And again, Reverend Al Sharpton and the NAACP, along with the Muslim.
Shout out, Reverend Al.
Man,
what did he say? He always answered.
That's right.
Always answered.
He sure do. And big shout out to Reverend Al, the Action Network, NAACP, and the Muslim community who came together.
What's my man's name? We'll get it for you.
Thank you. But they all came together and they made it very clear that they disagree with the verdict, indicating that if this was a white homeowner,
I was just about to say that.
Yes. Approached by five black teenagers, and one was killed. The fright exclaimed by the homeowner would have not only been justified, but the teenagers would have been charged and facing criminal charges. That's the thing. And that is the racial tension. Because when Dano was murdered by the, died, homicide, right? Because I don't like to say, you know, that he was murdered, but he died. He played a major part in this, but it was over 700 people who attended Dano Jr.'s funeral, and all of them came from this quaint town. So, you know, when they look at this one black man, they're like, well, why did he have to shoot the boy? Oh, this was a racial thing. He just didn't like the boy because he was black, because he was white. I mean, it's very easy to play that game. You know what I'm saying? So it was, and again, to the point where they fear for their own lives. Mm. Oh, whatever. You know?
This is a sad, stupid
ass
story.
It's a very sad situation.
This should have never happened. 8 months later, just trying to.
It's sad. So on March 19, 2008, John White appeared before the judge for sentencing day because at this point he was found guilty, right? We just talked about that. He was facing 22 years in prison. However, the judge did take into consideration that John had never been in any trouble with the law prior to this, and by all accounts was a good and decent man. The judge also acknowledges that the boys that showed up at John White's house that night does have a level of responsibility in this situation.
They have to. And I'm sitting here thinking even further. I think it's a underage drinking gone wrong.
Yep, it is.
You should not have been drinking. You can't control your drinking.
That's right.
You get mad about some shit 8 months ago.
That's right.
Tell your partner to run you over to the black man. You call the black dude before you come. You absolutely goofy. I mean, and God rest his soul, too. Because, I mean, we're not supposed to talk bad about the dead.
Right. And I'm going to tell you this. In this situation with Dano or whatever, Dan Cicero Jr., what happened with this is a case of... You know, a lot of people can go back and say, man, when I was like 17 or 18 years old, I did a lot of dumb shit, you know, but they're able to live to tell about it. In Dan's situation, he put himself in a situation that unfortunately he's not able to be here to say, I fucked up. I should not have been underage drinking. I should not have been doing these things. I should have pulled my nose out of this business. But that is what ultimately cost him, unfortunately, his life. You know, because looking at it from John White's perspective, I mean, hey, I had a family member who was murdered by the Ku Klux Klan. So when my son wakes me up and say, they're going to grab me, beat me, and ultimately kill me for some shit that I didn't do, what are you supposed to do in that moment?
The NAACP
made it very clear. Sorry. Any man who does not do what John did in that moment is not a man.
Thank you.
Period. So, you know, that's that. So, and he took what was coming to him. So, again, like I said, the judge, thank God for a sensible judge, right? You don't get those nowadays.
Yeah, because it could have went the other way.
That's right.
Let's make no qualms about it.
Yep.
You get that racist judge with the Ku Klux Klan t-shirt underneath the robe. Doing 99 plus 99.
With no possibility of parole.
Let's go get some lunch.
That's justice.
Bottom line.
Thank you. So the judge, like I said, she also acknowledges that the boys who showed up at the White House have some level of responsibility. And with that, she sentences John White to 2 to 4 years in prison.
2 to 4 years?
2 to 4. When he was facing 22.
Yeah, that's Muhammad. Right. Okay, so 2 to 4 ain't bad. Okay, I mean, damn. This is just an unfortunate case, y'all. Yeah. So we're looking at 2 to 4. Okay.
The Cicero's here's the thing. The Cicero family reaction was not a good one. The father was very clear in stating his disappointment, including, quote, "I'm totally disappointed in this justice system. Suffolk County sucks." And let me just be very clear, people, he said a lot more than that. He said, "That's the message that we're sending to people, that the black man can go around and people just go around killing kids and not be held accountable." He was pissed to
when
no
your
level
son
of
approached
pissivity.
Me, yep. You ran up on me. You pulled up on me. That's matter of fact, you called me and told me you was on
and
your
told
way.
Told me you was on your way. Oh my Shut God! Up. You called me and told me you was on your way. Like, for real. Oh, my God. Okay, talk about premeditation. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, on the other side of this...
He shouldn't have got no time.
Thank
you. I mean, thinking about it, I mean, in retrospect, you call me, tell me you on your way to beat me up, possibly kill me or whatever, goddammit. You get there, the tables is turned.
Thank
I
you.
I mean, it was either and, me,
exactly.
you or me.
Exactly. And that was the situation when it came to, like, Reverend Al Sharpton and NAACP and the Muslim clinic.
Exactly.
They was like, why is he even going to trial? Why is this even a justice or a judicial situation? This would never be a judicial situation had there been a white man killing black teenagers. Like, we need to be clear about that, right? And so that's just a reality. But on the other side of this, John White's attorney immediately filed an appeal and he was freed on bail. He was awaiting a response on his appeal, but he did express remorse for what happened and the chain of events that changed two families' lives forever. Jennifer Martin indicated after the initial sentence, him being found guilty, that she hopes that John White gets the maximum sentence possible. That's what the girl said. She said, "I hope he get everything that's coming to him." Just saying.
Typical.
Exactly. A few months after filing the appeal, John White's sentence was upheld, and in July 2010, he was ordered to begin serving his 2 to 4 year sentence for manslaughter. However, in December 2010, Governor David A. Patterson announced that as a lasting part of his governorship before leaving office, he would commute the sentence of John White. Governor Patterson says, quote, "My decision today may be an affront to some and a joy to others, but my objection is only to seek to ameliorate the profound suffering that occurred as a result of this tragic event."
Ameliorate.
Now, that's a new term.
Ameliorate.
I'm going to have to start using that term.
Yeah, I am.
So ultimately, John White only served about 5 months in an upstate New York prison. He walked out as a free man early, but would have been eligible for parole roughly 2 months after his first hearing date, which would have been around October of the next year. So he would have been able to, he would have possibly even been up for, and let's be clear, you guys, just because you're up for parole doesn't mean you're going to get it.
To me, he shouldn't have did no months.
He, and that's what Reverend Allen was saying.
Taking down,
booking, that he should have never been.
That's that.
Thank you. It was a justifiable homicide. That's
yes.
what they were saying. Is that any
oh,
man
right.
in that situation? Why
I mean,
was this ever a judicial system?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why was this anything in the judicial system from the first place? This should have never, ever happened. This should have never been anything that he should have been responsible or accountable for. Right? So John White thanks his Lord and Savior for this miracle and the fact that he is still alive. Many people in the community, yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank,
thank
you,
Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus. So many people in the community, as well as his attorneys, sent applications and organized a letter writing campaign to the governor, which is what urged the governor to even review the case in the first place. So shout out to all of the people who stood behind John White, who sent those letters, who forced the governor to look at this case and make a decision either way.
Yes. Shout out to grassroots organizations.
Thank you. And shout out to the lawyers
Ooh.
Of John White. And the supporters of John White.
Shout out to the real lawyers worldwide.
Thank you.
Y'all.
Reverend Al, NAACP, all you guys who really stood up for him. Like, shout out, because he would not have been freed had it not been for you guys.
Real talk.
So, when Dan Cicero Sr. was interviewed to see how he felt about John White's pardon, he says, quote, "It doesn't matter. He would have been released at some point anyway." And that's a far cry of what his anger displayed during the initial sentencing hearing, which where he made it very clear that he freaking hated everybody that ever walked in life and every person in the judicial system fucking sucked. And this is what we do when people shoot people. We just let them walk. And again, you know, as he cools down and he calms down, he comes to the realization that, hey, his son shouldn't have been drinking and his son shouldn't have showed up at the White House. Point period. That's it. Your son is the one that created. Sometimes we create our own situation.
And I just cannot get past the fact of how arrogant are you.
Yeah.
I'll be there in 15 minutes to whoop your ass.
Be outside and ready to go.
And you really show up. Me and my dad outside with guns. You try to smack the gun on my dad's head. You just thought we was just wasn't going to do nothing. You think less than a black than a dog, yo.
Thank you.
He could have still been alive.
And that's funny that you say that, DJ, because Aaron White makes it very clear how he feels about those young boys who came to his home that night seeking revenge. He accepted the fact that those quote-unquote friends of his indeed turned on him. And according to NewYorker.com, in his testimony, he says, "They have no respect for me or my family or my mother or my father. They have no respect for life whatsoever. They are scum." Mm-hmm. And you know what, Aaron? I have to agree with you.
Oh, absolutely. I double down on that.
And it's really a sad situation, DJ. And again, we don't condone anybody's death. We want to be very clear about that. What happened in this situation is really a catch-22, right? Because, you know, somebody died. They shouldn't be dead. Somebody killed them. They shouldn't have killed them. But at the end of the day, it was a chain of events that brought them all together where somebody was going to die either way. I often wonder, would this case be the case that would it have been had Aaron White been the one that was murdered?
Hell no. His ass has been upstate right now. Oh, what do you mean? Aaron White.
The son. The one who they came
murdered?
After. Had he been murdered?
White boy right would have stayed in. You know
Thank you. That is, I think that was the whole point. Like, it's so funny how we are very quick to become judgmental of the black man. He shot this boy. He got into a teenage squabble.
You're right, but I must say, Larry, we got a fair shake this one time. We got a fair shake on this trial. He shouldn't have never went to jail, but, you know, 6 months, 4 to 6 months.
But think about it. You still have to go through a trial.
Oh, I know.
You know, you take it away. Luckily for him, during this whole situation, he was still getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I have to imagine this is very stressful.
What did
He's
get
still
up
getting
up
at 3 o'clock in the morning and traveling 3 hours to go to town, to go to work,
shit.
To fix potholes.
He didn't move from that quaint ass town?
No, he never did.
Oh,
but eventually, he did, just so you guys know, he did lose his house.
Oh, I thought you was going to say he moved.
No.
He lost?
Unfortunately, he lost it. Yeah.
What?
Very sad.
Fucking with this bullshit. These racist ass white people.
He lost his home. He lost his dream home. This is the place.
The lawyers, the bleach dry, took everything he had, including his home.
But he's a free man.
Yes. You can have it. Yep.
And ultimately, Because, the you know, ultimately, it takes a lot to get to the government.
And this is really all because of underage drinking.
Yeah. And a misunderstanding.
Underage drinking.
And again, talk to your children about underage drinking.
Yeah, white supremacy.
Talk to your children about being leaders and not followers. Just because your friend tell you, oh, we gonna go get in the car. We all gonna get in the car. We gonna show this nigga up. No, okay? If you got good sense, you don't have to do that. Mm. You the boss. Mm. You the leader. Make sure your kids know that they a boss. They a boss, dog. They a leader.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, and these kids can say, oh, well, that didn't happen, and that didn't happen, and that didn't happen. It happened. It happened, and it happened, and it happened. And they know it happened. And they admitted it in court that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now we want to know what you think. Was John White a man defending his family, or should he have stayed inside and called the police? No. That's what the prosecution is saying.
Oh, he should have stayed inside and called the police.
The prosecution is saying that he should have stayed inside his home and called the police. What do you think?
And that's crazy because, April, I guess that was an option. I never thought about that.
I never thought about that
they
either.
They said they was coming over to kill my son. We got to see about that problem. I mean, at the end of the day, what? So you said, he should have sat home and called the police. He should have never pulled up. How about that?
Yep. And you thought that that boy really was threatening to rape that girl online.
I mean, because, I mean, he's a, listen, if I shouldn't have came out, then he shouldn't have came over.
Thank you. Either way, don't show up to my house.
My thing is,
I have a legal right to defend myself.
Right, and if the girl had a problem with rape allegations, she could have called the goddamn police.
But she never did.
Didn't even tell Dano.
Until Aaron showed up.
Bullet in his head.
Thank you. So, whose fault is it really?
I'm going to tell you.
That's something to think about.
Man, Lady A, listen. Hit us up, y'all. What's our new Instagram?
So, yes, let us know what you think.
What's happening?
Let us know what you think. Hit us up on our Money, Romance, and Greed page on Instagram and on Twitter. We want to know Money, Romance, and Greed. And we also want to invite you to hit us up on our email, mrg.podcast1@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. What do you think about this situation? What do you think about this case? We want to know because we felt like it was a justifiable homicide. However, there are some glitches in the situation.
I mean, it really ain't no glitches. The only glitch is, you should call 911. A nigga called me, said he been finna pull up. I ain't got time to call.
And anybody in that situation who's human is gonna react.
I look out some window, he already out there.
Thank you. So we want to know. We want to know your thoughts. We want to know what you feel. We want to know what you think. You know, we just want to know. And we will make sure that we relay those on our next episode, episode 9. And just, you know, let us know what it is that you're thinking, because this really is a complex case. It is a case of who do you think was right? So let's be clear about that. And, I mean, of course, we have Aaron and we have his father and we have the Cicero family. Nobody's a winner in this situation, right, DJ? I mean, nobody's a winner.
Nobody's a winner. And I also want y'all to know, man, Money, Romance, and Greed is a real show. We're here to get results. We're here for the victims. And we don't play. By any means, we're going to get after it. Bottom line, hit us up. Let's get after some true crime and let's find some perpetrators. Let's help victims. Let's solve crimes. Lady A, I know I didn't say it like you would. Take us out of here.
Nope, and you're absolutely right. So everyone, I mean, until next time, peace. Hey, everyone. It's Lady A.
And DJ. Hey, listen. If you want more amazing episodes of Money, Romance, and Greed,
make sure you subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast fix. And we want to hear from you.
For inquiries, show ideas, or general comments, hit us up at mrg.podcast1@gmail.com. That's mrg.podcast1@gmail.com.